الحمد لله وكفى الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما جعله الله الا بشرى لكم ولتطمئن قلوبكم به وَمَن نَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِن عِندِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكْ وَسَلِّمْ اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وما جعله الله and Allah did not make this Allah did this solely to make it a good news for you. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ And Allah did not do it except that Allah wanted to make this a good news for you. What are we talking about here? This the descension of 5,000 angels that Allah did not send these except that they will be a good news for you. وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ And through these angels, your hearts will be at rest. So this was the purpose of sending these angels. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Rahimahullah, in his Ma'ariful Quran, raises this question that the amount of 5,000 angels is mentioned here, only one angel could have been enough. So then he answers this question. So the number of 5,000, the descension of 5,000 angels, Allah himself mentions why these angels descended. And the reason why these angels descended was to make it a good news for you. Because if you have 1,000 soldiers on the other side, and you have only 313, then you only have a few swords and they have 1,000 swords. And they have 700 horses and you have about 15 horses. Then obviously you're waiting for some good news. So yes, one angel would have been enough. Even Allah can do it without the angels. But this 5,000 angels was so that you get good news, that you have help. Which is five times more than the kuffar. And then with this help, your heart feels contented. So that is why Allah Ta'ala says that the descension of 5,000 angels, it was because so that your hearts may be at rest. So this was one of the biggest reasons for sending these many angels. And if you remember from the last class, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was a very tall man. And the Mufassirin have said that his height was more than 7-8 foot. So he was a very tall man. And he was captured by one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was very short in height. And he was surprised. So when somebody told the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, such a short sahabi in height has captured Abbas radiallahu anhu. And Abbas was such a tall person. And he was fighting for the kuffar at that time. And then he accepted Islam. So then Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that, no, this small person did not capture me. There was a huge thing. And a huge person who came close to me, and I didn't have the courage to fight with him, so I handed myself over to him. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, yes, he is correct. This was the angel who captured Abbas radiallahu anhu. So the angels descended at Badr, and it was for the help of the Muslims. Now, the final part of this ayah is the most important part. And what is this part? If you pay close attention, وَمَنْ نَصْرُ and وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. The victory is not except from Allah. So one cannot gain victory except the victory is with Allah. Al-Aziz, he's the most powerful. Al-Hakim, he's the most wise. So victory is with Allah. Allah gives you victory. The word Nasr means victory, and the word Nasr also means help. So help descends only through Allah. Now, there's a question that victory and help is from Allah. And the question for us is then, well, how do I get help from Allah? How can it be that I am also victorious all the time? And then I am also helped by Allah. And I am not left alone, and I am not left in a situation where I lose out. So how can this happen? The scholars have mentioned that there are three types of people who will definitely get help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first one among them is the one who remembers Allah. He's the most successful person, because Allah mentions in the Quran that victory is for the one who remembers Allah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. That surely victory is for the one who purifies himself. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. And then Allah goes on to say, وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And that he remembers Allah and he prays to Allah. So then the person who remembers Allah, he will always be successful. So victory lies in the remembrance of Allah. That is why if you go to the mashayikh and the scholars, one of the first lessons they will tell you is that, yes, pray 5 times a day and take some time out as well for the recitation of the Quran, for the remembrance of Allah, for dua, for tasbih, for all these things. Why? Because success lies in the remembrance of Allah. Then the second ayah that also leads to this point, that remembering Allah brings you success. Allah Ta'ala says, "Azkuruni azkurukum." That you remember me and I will remember you. And when somebody is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and somebody is doing the zikr of Allah, Allah is also remembering him. And Allah's remembrance of his servant is filled with mercy, is filled with help. So that is why the one who remembers Allah is a successful person. The one who remembers Allah gets the help of Allah. So it is very, very important that we have a routine of remembering Allah every day. And then there is a hadith al-Qudsi. Hadith al-Qudsi are those ahadith, these are the words of Allah mentioned not through the Quran but through the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the hadith al-Qudsi here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the one who takes out time to remember Allah, the one who spends times in the remembrance of Allah, Allah helps him in his worldly matters. So again, all of these ayahs and all of these ahadith they point out towards this one thing, that the one who remembers Allah will always be successful. So there should be a routine of remembrance of Allah. Now some people ask this one question, that, okay, five times I pray, and then the scholars, they tell me that I should also have a routine of remembering Allah. So what should I do? How should I remember Allah? And there's so many, many things in ahadith that are mentioned that one can do. So which one of these things should I choose? Because I cannot do all of these things. Because if you're doing all of these things, one, you will not be able to do all of these things. Two, if you are a person who has a job, who has a family, then you'll have to choose some of these things. So the mashayikh had said that, okay, if you have to choose from among all of these azkar, which one should you choose? So this question was also asked to Khaja Bahauddin Naqshband Bukhari rahimahullah, one of the biggest mashayikh of Bukhara, Khaja Bahauddin Naqshband. And Khaja Bahauddin Naqshband was asked that, okay, the question was phrased this way, that if there are no scholars and mashayikh left in this world, if, for example, God forbid, a situation arises that there are no scholars left, and there is a person who wants to get closer to Allah. Now there's no one to guide him because there's no scholars, there are no mashayikh. How can he get closer to Allah? Can he actually attain a closeness of Allah? This was the question. And Khaja Bahauddin Naqshband Bukhari rahimahullah, he answered, he said, he actually kept quiet for quite a bit, and he kept on thinking. And then he said, after a long pause, he said, yes, there is a way that if all the mashayikh and all the scholars depart from this world, and there's still somebody who wants to get closer to Allah, then Khwaja Naqshband said that there's one way, and that one way is if he does abundance of astaghfar. If he keeps on doing astaghfar in abundance, then there is a possibility that he can come closest to Allah, even if there are no mashayikh or scholars left. So this was the answer. So among all the askar, some of the mashayikh have chosen astaghfar. This is one of the best ones. And the Prophet ﷺ has also pointed towards the beauty of this zikr, doing astaghfar to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ has said, "Man lazim al istaghfar," that the one who makes a habit of doing astaghfar, the one who has a habit of doing astaghfar every day. Like some people, they have a habit of doing astaghfar 200 times every day. Some people have a habit of doing istighfar 500 times. The Prophet ﷺ also had a habit. And the Prophet ﷺ, in a Sahih hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that some days I do istighfar 100 times. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, sometimes there are some days that I do istighfar 70 times. So the Prophet ﷺ also, it is a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to do istighfar every day, regularly, many, many times. So in the hadith it comes, man lazim al istighfar, the one who has a habit of doing astaghfar, ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli ziqin makhraja. Now Allah is going to give him an exit from each and every problem of the world. Wa min kulli hammin faraja. And Allah is going to give him an exit from all the depressions and tensions of the world. وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And he, Allah is going to give him a rizq from where, for sustenance from such a place that he had not even expected. So this is the situation. This is the level of the person who does astaghfar in abundance. So three types of people will definitely get help from Allah. The first one is the one who remembers Allah. And among all of these remembrances and all these azkar, one of the best ones is doing astaghfar. So I'm hoping all of our class members do astaghfar every day, inshallah. And if not, these are very important nights. Tonight is a very important night, the 10th of Muharram. And then, you know, one should do it every day. And this is what is mentioned in the hadith. The one who has habit is going to get help from Allah all the time. Then the second person, and who is that person? The one who helps the deen of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says clearly in the Quran, in tansurullah, if you are going to help Allah, yansurukum, Allah is going to help you. وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ, and Allah is going to make your feet strong on the ground, which means he's going to give you a lot of strength. And what is it that is going to give you, that is going to get you Allah's help and all this strength? It is helping the deen of Allah. It is helping Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, if you help Allah, the scholars have said, Allah does not need anybody's help. Here what Allah means is that if you help the deen of Allah, so if you do anything that can be termed as helping the deen of Allah, from, you know, then when you become a scholar, you help the deen of Allah. Or if you're somebody who makes masjid and who donates for masjid, that is also help of the deen of Allah. If you're somebody who, you know, just goes in the masjid and he wipes the floor of the masjid, let's say, that is also the help of helping the deen of Allah. So there's many, many ways in which you can help the deen of Allah. And sometimes just by praising somebody, you can help the deen of Allah. For example, if the masjid, the imam of your masjid is a person who is giving lectures in the masjid, not many people are showing up. Now, if you praise the lectures of the imam of your masjid to other people, then they will show up and they will listen to the lectures of the imam. If you just did this, you just praised your imam of the masjid, you've helped the deen of Allah. Now you are, you know, you're eligible for Allah's help. Because tonight is the 10th of Muharram here in Karachi, we have to mention this personality of Islam, who was one of the companions, who was the grandson of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and about whom the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that he is going to be the leader of all the young people of Jannah. Sayyidina Imam Hussein Raziyallahu. And it was this day, the 10th of Muharram, that he became Shaheed. And why we are mentioning him today in this class? One, because today is 10th of Muharram. Two, because we're talking about helping the deen of Allah. And to help the deen of Allah, he laid down his life. So sometimes people help the deen of Allah in this way, that he felt that those people who are in power will bring a bad name to the deen of Allah. And he had fewer people. He didn't have a very big group. He only had 70, 80 people with him. And on the other hand, the people who were opposed to him, they had huge armies of thousands of people. And that did not deter him. That did not deter him. And some people, some of his closest friends And some of even the Sahaba, they tried to stop him that you should not go forward. And he said, no, I have seen one dream where this is something that I have to do. Allahu Akbar. So some people will help the deen with their wealth. Some people help the deen with, you know, with by teaching others. And there are some people who are so, so lucky, so honored that they give their lives for the deen of Allah. And what a beautiful way, and what a beautiful patience that he showed. Allah Akbar. So on the 9th of Muharram, it is written, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Rahimahullah has written a book in Urdu called Shaheed-e-Karbala. And he's mentioned the whole episode that took place at Karbala. And it is said that the forces opposed to Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu, they wanted to make him shaheed on the 9th. He said, no, give me one night. I want to do astaghfar and I want to pray and I want to make dua to Allah before I start this war. Allahu Akbar. And then in that night, he saw the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his dreams. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that you are very close to coming to me. So tomorrow you will be coming back to me. Allahu Akbar. So this 10th of Muharram was not a day of, a day of depression or tension for Imam Hussein. It was a day of happiness for him. That I will meet my grandfather, the beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And then when he was made shaheed, his blessed head was separated from his body, Allahu Akbar, and was brought in front of Yazid. And Yazid touched his lips and his teeth with his sword. And one of the people standing there, he scolded Yazid that don't you dare touch his teeth and his lips. And I swear upon Allah that I have seen the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissing these lips and these teeth. So the one who helps the deen of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps him. We're talking about three ways how you can be helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us sitting here, all Muslims, they want to get help from Allah. They want to be on the good side of Allah. And the mashayikh have said that there's three things that you can do. One, remember Allah. If you remember Allah, Allah is going to remember you. Success will be very close to you. Second, you help the deen of Allah. Then Allah is going to give you victory and Allah is going to give you help. And the third thing, one of the very important things, it is that Allah's help is with the one who does shukr of Allah. So if you do a lot of shukr of Allah for the favors Allah has given you, then again, there is success for you. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, in la in shakartum la azidannakum. So whatever Allah has given you, if you do shukr for those things, Allah increases his blessings for you. This is the translation of the ayah. Now a lot of Muslims, they do shukr of Allah in the morning, in the evening, when they eat, when they come back home safely and all that. When is it difficult to do the shukr of Allah? It is difficult to do shukr of Allah when things are not going the way you want them to go. How do you do shukr when your wife is fighting with you? How can you do shukr of Allah when the wife is fighting with you? And when the child is not listening to you and he's going on and on about in his life and he doesn't want you to be in his life. How do you do shukr when these things are happening? Or when your business is going down, how do you shukr? How do you do shukr? When things are good and everything is fine and dandy, then shukr is easy. But when things are not going the way you want them to go, how do you make shukr? And this is where the mashayikh are experts at. They do shukr all the time. All the time. Allahu Akbar. And some of the mashayikh have also written how we can think about shukr. That when things are not going our way, how do you do shukr? And the Prophet ﷺ has taught us how this can be done. The Prophet ﷺ has said that you don't look at people who are above you in worldly things. Look at people below you in worldly things. It is going to increase your shukr. So let's say if you are living in a house which is a rented house, and you have an uncle who has his own house. Now, if you are continuously looking at him and you keep on saying that, I wish I had my own house and I would not, I didn't want to live in a rented house, then you will be a person who will be lacking shukr. But if you start looking at all those people who don't even have houses, who are homeless living on streets, then you will say to Allah, oh Allah, you are so merciful that I have a house, I pay rent and I live in a house, and I don't have to live homelessly. So it is just a turn of the way you look at things. And this is what the mashayikh are experts at. I'm going to give you one small story, small incident of a sheikh, and his name was Khaja Abdul Malik, rahimahullah. Sheikh Abdul Malik, rahimahullah, was a big sheikh of his time, and somebody living close to his city, a scholar, they had some differences. And he sent him a message, very strong and very disrespectful message. What was the message? He sent him a message saying that the Prophet ﷺ has said that this world and the akhirah are like two sisters. If you marry one, the other one becomes haram. So the message was that because you have chosen this world, now akhirah is haram on you. That, victory in akhirah is haram for you. Now this is a very disrespectful message for such a big. Now when the sheikh, he heard that this person had said such derogatory remarks about me. Here I am teaching hundreds and thousands of people how to live your life according to Islam. And I don't do any, worldly thing. I'm always engaged in the work of the deen. And this man is saying that I have chosen dunya over akhirah. And akhirah is haram for me. Allahu Akbar. But if it had been somebody like us, we would have been very upset. But the mashayikh, they are experts at shukr. Instead of saying anything else, these are the words of the sheikh. The sheikh said, Alhamdulillah. All praises are for Allah. That there are still people who think about us and who are, who are ready to correct us when we go wrong. Allahu Akbar. So the mashayikh are experts at doing the shukr of Allah. And the one who does shukr of Allah is going to be successful in this world. He's going to be successful in the akhirah as well. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, the one who does so much shukr that he's happy with the little that Allah has given him in this world, then Allah also is happy with him, even if he does little ibadah of Allah subhanahu. So three types of people will always, always be successful. One, the one who remembers Allah. The second one, who helps the deen of Allah. And the third one is the one who does shukr of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do all these things, to remember him, to help the deen of Allah, and also to do the shukr of Allah. We will stop here. I will do the translation one more time, and then we will make dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wama ja'alahu Allahu illa bushra lakum. And Allah did this solely to make it a good news for you. Walitatma'inna qulubukum bihi. And so that your hearts may be at rest with it. Waman nasru. And victory is from none illa min indillah, except Allah. Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, the all-powerful, the all-wise. So we'll stop here and we will make dua now. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salat wa salam ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala al Sayyidina Muhammadin Babarik wa sallim. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاكم الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته